Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the last week of 2009. We're going to be focusing in today on goal setting and hitting your objective, putting your action plans together. You know, it's too many times I think we just look at those resolutions, Jimmy, and we got them in our pocket at the start of the night, and by the end of the night, we don't know what we did with them. We go through our year, not a clue, man, not knowing what we're doing. How are you doing this morning?
I am doing fantastic, my friend. I hope you had as cool of a Christmas as we did. You know, you mentioned the idea of New Year's resolutions. And in order for anybody to understand resolutions, the first thing they have to understand is the definition of the meaning of the word commitment, in my mind. Because what it really boils down to is whether it's a New Year's resolution or, you know, the decision to do something new or anything else, commitment is nothing more than doing the thing you said you were going to do long after the mood you set it in has passed.
That's good.
And I'm going to say that again because I think that it's a simple yet profound statement. I can't take credit for that definition. You know, I don't know if it was a Jim Rohn original. I heard it the first time from Jeff Olson. But I think that it's a very simple way to understand the meaning of commitment. Commitment is doing the thing you said you were going to do long after the mood you set it in has passed. Because, you know, we all get excited about, you know, something new. And before I even go down that road, I want to touch on something that the late, great Jim Rohn used to say all the time. And that's the idea that the future can be anything that we choose to make it. The future can be bright. The future can be beautiful. The future can be full of amazing things if we choose to make it so. But it all begins with a decision. And then this comes back to what I was saying before about commitment. Without the commitment to see something through, it's so easy just to quit and go back to doing what we were doing before. Yeah, the irony is, you know, if we do what we've always done, we're going to get what we've always gotten. Yeah, and it all hinges on the decision and the willingness for us to make a change. In order to accomplish anything, we have to start with a change. Sorry, Troy. I've been waiting for this call this morning. I'm pumped up, fired up, and you know, ready to make some changes in my own life.
Well, sadly, I thought you were talking about somebody's marriage after the wedding night, because you were talking about commitment, man. And I thought, wow, he could hit my boys between the eyes with that one, man. That was great. It's like if people were more committed and more focused after that emotion, that high, that passion was gone there for an instant, and they realized what true commitment at every level of their life is about, man, they can see not just their business life change, but every aspect of their life would change. Because honestly, Jimmy, I think what we've got when we look at commitment, when we look at writing down and making changes in our life, you know, most people don't want to go through the pain of the change. They think they can just wish it to be. They think it had just happened. They think they've earned the right. And they don't realize that anything worth having, there's going to be a little bit of pain. There's going to be some stretching going on. You know, it's no different than lifting weights, trying to get rid of the fat and replace it with muscle. There's some pain there before you gain the goal, the achievement, the outcome that you're looking for.
Well, you know, and you're absolutely right, because one of the most profound things that my father ever shared with me is a simple statement about people will never change until such time that the pain of where they are becomes greater than the fear of the unknown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it reminds me of this story of this old, a couple of old farmers sitting on the porch right here in South Alabama. Yeah, they're sitting on the porch, and this old hound dog's laying on one of the steps there on the porch, and every minute or so he just lets out a yelp, and he's the visiting farmer looks at the other one and says, "Joe, what's that there dog of yours howling about like that? He's laying there, ain't it? Doesn't appear to be nothing bothering him. Is he in some kind of pain?" And the old boy says, "Yep, he's laying on a nail." and he says, "Well, why don't he move?" "It don't hurt bad enough yet."
Isn't that the truth? You know, and it's funny because when people don't commit, or when people they become complacent because the pain doesn't hurt enough, it's usually by three things that get in their way: fear, obviously, pleasure,
mm-hmm.
because they'd rather have that instant gratification, or they allow other people to control their time and their focus, so they never get to do what they wanted to do or what they were focused for, because they'd rather, I think, either please or the fear of hurting somebody else or making them mad than really following their dreams in their life and what they're supposed to be doing.
You know, you covered last week, you were working on the series about put your dream to the test.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to really stop and reflect on that for a minute, because how many people do we know that are not following their own dream, or they're following someone else's dream, or they've decided that they're content and, you know, they're willing to settle for the way things are. And that's when you take the time to look in the mirror and say, "Am I doing something that is making me happy? Am I doing something that's allowing me to be the best me that I can be?" That's a really powerful question.
Mm-hmm.
Am I doing something that's allowing me to be the best me that I can be?
You know, I think that's it right there. I think people don't focus on what they should focus on. They're not worried about what's making the best me. You know, they want to worry about what's pleasing other people, or worse yet, as you said, they're not chasing their dream, they're chasing somebody else's. You know, and I see this a lot. I had a new lawsuit come across my desk over the holiday, where one company is suing another, so I went to investigate. And it's so humorous to me that I see a bunch of distributors that are jumping from one company to the other based on what their upline is doing, based on chasing the pot of gold at the end of a rainbow, versus sitting down and honestly saying to themselves, "Hey, is the grass really greener on the other side? Is this just a get rich quick? What should I be doing? How should I focus? Should I really be making a move?" And Jim, that's the problem with folks. It's this jump first, ask questions later mentality. It's funny to me as I read through my Bible how many times we see the analogy, and we see parables that have to do with sheep. But sheep just follow a sheep herder, or they'll follow the first sheep over the cliff. And I'm thinking, man, this is how some of these guys are starting to operate. People want to follow the person that they think knows what they're doing, instead of sitting down and saying, "Okay, I'm going to put an action plan together. I'm going to lay out what my objectives are. I'm going to put my goals down," whatever y'all call them. You know, instead, we follow everybody else. And you cannot do that. That's one thing about Gil House that has always just mesmerized me, is he can be best friends with people, but when he that he needs to make a move, whether it's in business, whether it's in his personal life, doesn't matter what it is, he analyzes, he looks at it, he figures, okay, now, and he goes and he does it. Even if nobody follows him, because he knows he's a pioneer in it, he takes off. And folks, that is how you build yourself a business. That's how you make sure your relationship is stable. That's how you make sure that you're on the faith path that is right for you. Whatever the case is, you have to do it from the inside out, not from the outside in, because you follow somebody else blindly, and I guarantee you, you will go off of a cliff faster than you can shake a stick, man.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, Troy, because this weekend, just yesterday, in fact, I had the occasion to bump into Tony Rush at Barnes & Noble. And Tony and I have had a relationship online for over 4 years now. We live less than 30 minutes apart, but we've never, because of busy lives and everything, we've never made it a point to sit down and actually meet with and talk to each other. And yesterday, we almost virtually collided at the store. And one of the things that we were talking about in actually getting to spend some time and get to know each other is the concept that there's a huge difference between existing and living.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you mentioned the idea of sheep. You know, most people are sheep. Mm-hmm. Most people, you know, they live in the matrix. Man, what a perfect segue on this one, because, you know, the Matrix, first time I saw that movie, I thought, wow, this is deep. This is really deep. There's so many thought-provoking things in this if people will look past the special effects and look at the messages that are embedded in this movie. Mm-hmm. But the idea that the human beings, the vast majority of them, are plugged into the Matrix. They're sheep. They exist. They don't live. You know, it's why we hear stories about the Pareto principle, otherwise known as the 80-20 rule, and why there's people that will argue that, you know, 97% of the people who enter the network marketing arena or the home-based business arena will fail. You know, I'm sorry, 97% of the people that enter everything they ever start will fail.
Sure.
Because they lack the commitment to follow through. They lack the desire to see it through to the end and become the best me that they can possibly be. At some point, they reach a level where they are content and they are willing to settle and plug into the Matrix.
Mm-hmm. You know, you hit that right on the head. I think people look at life like it's a job instead of an adventure. Whether it's a preacher, whether it's a network marketer, whether sometimes it's a mom or a dad, they don't see it as an opportunity to expand. They don't see it as an opportunity to get outside the Matrix. You know, they get home from work, they turn on the TV, I don't care what news channel it is, they believe everything that's put in front of their eyes. A commercial comes on and they decide to go buy a new Porsche. They don't have the money, they don't have the credit. A envelope comes in the mail that says, just sign here and we'll give you a new credit card. And they go through life existing. And then one day they kind of sort of have an aha moment and they realize, man, this isn't what I planned. So they go out and they get excited. It's towards the end of the year. They make a New Year's resolution, and then they share that resolution with somebody, and somebody looks at them and says, you know how many times I've heard that in the last 40 years? 40, because every January 1st you tell me the same thing, and then you never follow through. And sure enough, the guy comes January 1st, they sat down in their recliner, they popped the little tab on the beer can, they've got the remote, and they watch the football game. And their life never changes. And at the end of the day, the only difference, I mean, they got that little dash between the dates, and then the only thing on the appetite was he was remembered by his family. Now, that would suck, to say the least, but that's how many people live their life, and it's sad. You hit that right on the head.
Well, you know, and ironically, it's that dash that represents so much in our lives. How many lives have we touched in the course of that dash? How many things have we done to improve the world, make it a better place? how many things have we done to create a legacy, not just a monetary legacy, but, you know, it's funny because when I talk about the term legacy, the first thing 99% of everyone who you speak to about that word thinks of is the Rockefellers, the Kennedys, you know, these huge monetary legacies. But there's some pretty amazing legacies out there, like the Reagan legacy. You know, Ronald Reagan didn't leave a whole ton of money behind. He left a little bit. But what Reagan left behind, I don't think anybody could buy with money.
Nope.
You know, the legacy of changing the world and making it a better place through your own actions, knowing that one person and the changes that we choose to make can make a difference in the entire world. But most importantly, they can make a huge difference in the lives of our family.
You know, Jim, there's a flip side to that too. And I'm reminded of that over the weekend when I watched a terrorist try to bring down another airplane in the United States. There are people that have a diluted mentality, and they set their goals, and they create a legacy for their family. They create a legacy for their cause. And even though ideology-wise, I am 100% against terrorism, when I look at the men and women who sacrifice what we would call suicide, but they call sacrifice, themselves for their cause, I wonder how many average, normal, everyday Americans, if they would take the same mindset and say, I'm doing this for my family. I'm going to change my life for my loved ones. I'm going to leave a legacy for my family. And they did it in a positive way like Ronald Reagan did. How each little part of the United States would all of a sudden change. All of a sudden we'd see people along the streets that might be selling tomatoes. We might see some people that are out there making $5-$10 shoveling somebody else's driveway. And all of a sudden the recession's over because people have said, I'm not going to sit here and be a victim. I'm not going to sit here and take a handout. I'm going to live up and leave a legacy for my family, and I'm going to show them a work ethic and show them that they can't just be having a handout. I was sitting here over Christmas, and I had a person that came into our home, and wonderful, messed up young lady, to say the least, but I adore her. And she was all excited because she got approved for food stamps. And as I sat here and it's Christmas, so I didn't get into any tirades, but as I'm listening to what she's saying, I'm thinking the sad thing is this has become the mindset for the last couple of generations. People don't set goals. People don't put an action plan together. They put their hand out looking for something free from the government or somebody else instead of saying, you know what, if I just went out there and worked a little harder, if I went out there and tried a little bit harder, if I went out there and used my creativity that God gave me just a little bit harder, I could find something to do. And to prove my point, there's not a person listening to this radio show today that I literally could not find them a job online that pays hard, cold cash by the end of the day if they really wanted a job. And I'm not talking about just commission if you go sell something. I'm based on their work. I could show them how they could make money, and at the end of the day, they could have $10-$15 minimum in their pocket if they wanted to. But yet most people, Jim, they just want to step back and put that hand out. They don't want to make those hard changes like you're saying, leaving a legacy, changing the dash between their name, and making sure, as you and Tommy like to joke around, making sure they've got at least six people showing up at the funeral to be their pallbearers.
You know, It never ceases to amaze me, Troy, the idea of the handout. The Roman Empire, at one point, was one of the largest, most prolific empires in the history of mankind. And you know why the Roman Empire collapsed?
Why's that?
Because the subjects of the Roman Empire had realized that they could vote themselves lavish benefits from the Treasury. And the only problem with that, Maggie Thatcher said this in a presentation one time. She said, the problem with socialism is eventually you're going to run out of other people's money. And the idea of the Roman Empire, the reason it collapsed was for that very reason. The citizens of the empire, through their democracy, had voted themselves such lavish rewards and privileges and everything that the soldiers of the empire could no longer sustain the amount of inflow of the capital and you know, rewards and everything to sustain that, and therefore it collapsed.
I find that interesting.
Any society, you know, any society that does not learn from the mistakes of history is destined to repeat them, without
a
doubt.
You know,
but
you
we're getting off track here for a second. Yeah, I apologize.
No.
We need to bring this back around to, you know, how our listeners can use the material we're talking about today to map out a plan for 2010 and why 2010 can be the best year yet in their life if they choose to make it so.
Well, you know, but you hit on something, and it is a good segue into this, because if you're not looking at past mistakes, if you're not looking at past successes, if you're not looking at the past actions that have limited you from being able to move forward, then you're not going to change. And I see that constantly. And folks, I'll give you three things real quick, because we're going to do this all week. We're going to be adding stuff, moving around. But here's three. Number one, a lot of times we think we're in a situation where we can't change it. How are we going to set new goals if we can't change the situation? Well, number one, you need to see the situation as it is, not worse than it is. Nothing lasts forever. And if you will sit down and look at your situation and write it down in detail, write it down realistically, just don't write it down worse than it really is. That's step one. Step two, see your personal situation better than it is. Now, that may sound a little bit wishy-washy on what I just said, but listen to me. If you know that you're in the situation, then see it for what it is. Find that 1% of your situation that's positive, that you can grab a hold of, that can help you jump to that next place that you're looking for. I don't care if you're on the verge of bankruptcy. I don't care if they're getting ready to take your house. I don't care what it is. Write it down for exactly what it is. Write down what you have done to change it. Write down what you're going to do to change it. And then look at your situation and be thankful for what it is. I had a guy Jim and I were talking to not too long ago, and he said, well, you don't have a lot of money. You're not making a lot of money in network marketing. And I snickered a little bit because I've been at this thing full time for a long, long time. We live in a home on an island where people will spend millions and millions and millions of dollars just to build a home. And I thought, you know what? We're raising a large family. We're enjoying life for what it's worth. We live in the dream place that we dreamed we wanted to live. It's not about the money. It's about the long-term legacy that I'm leaving for my family. And sometimes you'll look at people in network marketing, folks, and you'll hear them say, well, we're cash flowing millions of dollars. The next time somebody says that, you need to ask them, how much money do you actually have in your investments? What's in your retirement plan? How many assets do you have? It's the net worth that matters, not the cash flow, because cash flows can come and go. The third thing, you've got to write down and make your situation the way you want it to be. This is January 1 that we're going into. You've got to be able to know exactly where you're at in order to create the plan of where you want to go. Because if you don't, how are you going to get anywhere? How are you going to know where your starting point is? How are you going to know how far away you've got to travel to reach your destination if you don't know specifically where you're at? So use those three steps, whether it's your business, your personal life, your faith, your health, your finances, I don't care what it is, you need to know specifically where you're at. Guys, I've got an 8.5 by 11 notebook, and I use it every day. And this week, I start taking my outlines that I've been doing through the month of December, and I write my action plan for every aspect of my life. And come January 1, I'll flip that open, and my 2010 action plan, especially for the first quarter, will all be in place. But it's because I know exactly where I'm at today. And I know what my result's going to be. I know where my purpose is. And I know what my massive action plan is because I've already put it together. And that's what we're going to be working on for the rest of the week. Bella, Jimmy almost got on a rant. We'd be here another hour.
Dude, there's nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Can
you hear me?
Yep, I can hear you. That's the thing with people. I want them to understand, because I didn't do this for years. And every January 1, man, I was going to do it again. And then I was going to do it again, and I was going to do it again. And before I finally realized, I don't even know where I'm going, where I'm at, let alone where I'm going. And once I started doing this, and once I took the time, because, folks, I'm going to tell you what, this will be one of the most tedious things you do the first time. But once it's done, then the sky's the limit. And if you, maybe I'll figure out a way that I can do my notebook so people can see it. Because, folks, there's not an aspect in my life. Being a dad, being a grandpa, being a lover, being a husband, every role that I play, I've got a plan of action. I know exactly what I want to accomplish from January 1 to December of next year. And it's not that I hit everything. Sometimes you got to change the dates, but I constantly am progressing forward in the path to the destination. And listen, that's the fun part, Jimmy, because sometimes you don't reach it, and you get to challenge yourself and stretch yourself even further to take it to that next level when you miss a date and you know that you wanted to hit it so bad.
You know, I'm excited about 2010. I really am. You know, there's so many things that are in the future, and the future never looked brighter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it amazes me how we see people, excuse me, who buy into the doom and gloom. And, you know, everybody has the choice of seeing the glass half empty or seeing the glass half full. But I'm thinking that 2010 is going to be a year to close out the first decade of the millennium in such a huge bang that it's not even funny. You know, the only future that I know we have that lies ahead of us, and I know this with every fiber of my being, is the only future that lies ahead of any of us in this world is the one we choose to make for ourselves.
Well, you hit that on the head, but I need to correct you in one little aspect. 2010 doesn't close out the first decade, it's the start of the second decade. Because numbers start with zero. So the year 2000 was the first year of the first decade. And 2010 is the first year of the second decade.
Okay, I'll buy that.
Folks, we love doing these shows. In 2010, we have put together an action plan for our radio shows. We've put an action plan together for the blogs. Folks, you're going to see some really wild and beautiful stuff. We're giving away more than what we gave away in 2009, and it's because it took 2009 for us to put it all together and finally get our foundation where we wanted to go. And now we literally have a good foundation. We know what we're doing. We know there's some new technologies rolling down the pipe that we're going to use. We know that there's some great new companies out there to talk to, some beautiful leaders. Good Lord, I think Jim has got everybody but past presidents that are going to be on the radio show, and he's probably working on that too, because we have got some just great people, man, that are going to be on as guests this year. Jim, you've done a great job, and my hat is off to you for that.
Well, there's only 8 vacancies. You know, I'm glad you brought that up. There's only 8 vacancies for the entire first half of the year right now, and we're looking at trying to get those filled here within the next week or so that we're going to have the entire first half of the year done as far as knowing who our guests are going to be before we even launch the show this coming Friday.
It's going to be fun. So, folks, have an awesome day. Tomorrow, we're going to start talking about time targets, how you can set those little target dates between every one of the objectives you want to reach for 2010. So, have an awesome day. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Radio for your mind. Bye now.
God bless everybody. Have a great day.